Our 10-minute speaker is Eric J. from San Diego.
Good evening, everybody. My name's Eric, and I'm an alcoholic.
Eric.
And I'm not nervous at all. I'm not. I really enjoy talking about myself. When I was asked to be the 10-minute speaker, and I was thinking about it today, not obsessing, just thinking about it, somebody mentioned to me that it's really difficult to tell your story in 10 minutes. And I thought about it. I agree. If I was to tell my story in 10 minutes, she would break both her wrists. So there we go. That was my attempt at humor. Anyways, I want to say welcome to all of our hearing impaired alcoholics here tonight. It's really awesome we get to offer this at this meeting. And more importantly, I want to say hello to all of our newcomers that are here tonight. I hope you're really uncomfortable, but I hope you hear something here that makes you feel a little better or at least gives you a glimmer of hope, because that's what I hung on to in my early sobriety. When I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, my sobriety date is 9/9/2002. I recently turned 17 years sober. It's amazing to me, too. All I did was show up a lot. So what I wanted to do instead tonight, and for the benefit of the newcomers, try to explain to you what worked for me to keep me sober. I got here thinking I was pretty smart and I had everything all figured out, but when I got here, I was done with all that. And step one was I admitted I was powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable. Namely, I surrendered with both hands. I was done. And I'm sure most of you that are in here know that feeling where if I had another dollar or another bright idea, I might have tried something different, but I was all out of everything. And I really couldn't stand another day of myself and the way I was living. I ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous, and in that first meeting, they told me to get a sponsor, do the steps, do 90 meetings in 90 days, read the book. I did all of those things because I couldn't afford rehab. I thought rehab, I called the McDonald's Center, and they asked me if I had medical insurance. I said no. And they said, well, if you have $12,000, come on down and we'll help you out. I was a little short. So I thought this was rehab for poor people and that the rules were you had to get a sponsor, read the big book, and go to 90 meetings in 90 days. So I was sure that one of these guys in the corner was writing it down whenever I showed up, and they were making sure that I put a dollar in the basket, and I figured that was just rehab for poor people. It would only cost a dollar, so I didn't give it a whole lot of hope, but, you know, I thought I'd try it out. And I did do the 90 and 90. I actually went to meeting every single day, more than one a day often, for 3 years. That's 1,000 meetings. I was pretty messed up, and I didn't exactly have a lot going on in my life at that time when I showed up. And when I came in here, I heard laughter, I saw camaraderie, and all of you know that alcoholism is a terribly lonely disease. And I came in here with that dark hole in the middle of my chest, just wanting to be loved. I wanted to be part of something. And I found that here in Alcoholics Anonymous. People welcomed me. They remembered my name a week or two later. Hey, Eric, how you been? And, God, that felt really good because I'd been walking around invisible for a long time and powerless. Nothing I did had any influence on the world. I was like a professional victim. So my first sponsor, you know, I told him, I said, God, I'm not a bad guy. I don't steal. I try not to lie. I do sometimes, but I try not to. You know, and it always turns to, you know what. And he said, well, your problem isn't your morals. It's your behavior. And it talks about that in the big book. You know, my morals are up here. I want to feed the family and help little old ladies and, you know, be the guy in the white hat. But over here was my behavior. And my sponsor explained to me that through the steps, we were going to bring my expectations down and my behavior up until they were in balance. In other words, reunite me with the God of my understanding. I didn't come here seeking God. And when I first read the steps, it was like, blah, 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 God. Blah, 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 God. And I was like, oh, man. But at that point, I was out of bright ideas, so I was willing to give it a shot. So step two, yeah, I came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. I was insane, I knew that, and I was willing to give it over to something I couldn't really understand in the hopes that it could help me. And step three, that was a big step. That was making a commitment. That was the first commitment step. Turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. And my sponsor took me out in front of the Alano Club in Pacific Beach where there's gum on the sidewalk and cigarette butts in the planter boxes and cars driving by. And we knelt down on that dirty sidewalk and did the third step in front of God and everybody. And people are honking as they drive by. And I'm trying to figure out how this is going to really help my life. I'm not very comfortable with being on my knees with another man. I'm sorry. But I did it. Once again, I was all out of bright ideas. If they told me to wear the pink bunny suit and stand out in front with a sign, I would have done it. You know, and it's called the gift of desperation. I was pretty beat up. So the thing I gained out of that third step is the byproduct of faith is courage. And you're going to need some of that when you start dealing with number four and number five, which is an inventory of yourself and your defects. You'll really want to have a good sponsor. And my sponsor sat down with me and showed me. We did the columns. We laid it all out. And I told him things I'd never told anybody that I was going to take to my grave. But I followed directions. I didn't want to get kicked out of this AA thing. So after that fourth step, and I heard some of his stuff, it was just as bad as mine, and he wasn't rattled by what I told him. And step five, we sat down and went through that whole list, and I shared all my deepest, darkest secrets and finished it up with taking the book down off the shelf and taking some time afterwards and letting it soak in. And I started to feel like a little lighter. There was a little more, I was joining in the laughter at meetings, I was feeling part of, and I had a pocket full of hope, enough to, and some courage, which is what I was going to need. And I had a little bit of a relationship with the God, and I was willing, and I knew what my defects were, and I had this God that I didn't really understand, but I knew he could help me, and I went to him with my character defects and asked that they be removed. They weren't stripped away. They were more pried off like a barnacle one at a time. They would leave a little scar tissue as they were on their way out. But in the end, I was able to come clean with a lot of that stuff. And then the big one, going out and making amends to those I had harmed. And there was no shortage of them. It didn't really involve theft or a lot of that kind of stuff. It mostly involved emotional abandonment, selfishness and self-centeredness to the 10th degree, among my friends and family and siblings. And what I gained through that was instead of getting that look, when I would make a promise, they believed me. And I started to have self-esteem. And my sponsor told me, if you want self-esteem, do esteemable things. And I started to do that. I started to help others. And then I went into the maintenance steps. I now had become a recovered alcoholic at the ninth step, and promises were coming true in my life, and things were getting good. Spiritual bankruptcy is what got me here in the first place, and bankruptcy comes from not paying your bills. So the way you pay your bills in Alcoholics Anonymous is you carry the message to the next poor guy behind you who's just trying to get sober, as other people did with me. And I do that to this day. I try to maintain a conscious contact with God in the 11th step, and I try to carry that the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, not my message, to the next guy and help him wherever I can, even when it's inconvenient, even when I have other things I'd rather do, or even when I don't think there's any way in hell they're going to make it, I'll still try to make an effort to help any newcomer. And if there's any newcomer in the room here that wants to talk to me after the meeting, I'll be here, and I'm willing to talk to you and do what I can to help you with your situation. As a result of that, I have a life today that's not like this, but it's like this. I'm confident. I feel that I fit in the world. I'm no longer invisible, and I won't say I'm not powerless, but I don't need to be in control anymore. I have a higher power that helps guide me. And my third step prayer is a simple one I do in the morning, which is, I'll pedal, you drive. And I work really hard to have a good life, but I'm willing to accept what comes my way, and I'm willing to accept guidance. And one of the greatest things I've gotten out of AA, besides my faith, is an ability to face change with a state of grace. Change, something happening different than it did the day before, is no longer a big deal. I lean into it, and I want to know what God has in mind for me that day, and I do it, and I try to face it. And that's all I got. Thanks for having me.